All right. Okay. Welcome, BBS. It is February the 6th, 2017. We are here all together on the conference call in combination with this radio show. Win, I'm glad you're here. I saw the announcement email, and here is the mic to you, my friend. Let's start our own recording.
I thought I just started it, but I don't hear it say.
Here goes.
This conference is being recorded.
Oh, there's something weird going on.
We are recording right now, Win.
Okay. This is February 6, 2017. And, when...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I don't know if Terry's here yet, but...
Terry Brown.
Is she here?
No, she's not.
Okay.
We have Terry from Dallas.
Okay. And, you know... We are so good at bringing in the silence on Whole Planet Healing. But guys, does that work for you? Do you get it when we do it?
Yes, I have. The last week or so, I've been barely on the calls. I think only two calls. And
yeah,
I haven't. You know, I'm too distracted, kind of. But you know, and anytime I'm participating with the Whole Planet Healing. You know, it's a great space to be at. I really, really like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of like the body is requesting it, you know? Do you have the things?
Yeah, I just turned them off. Thank you. Well, for those of you, maybe I'll unmute and ask. You know, when we start the calls and I bring in the silence, I know I experience the energy of it. And I'm curious, how many of you move right into it if you want to share it? You don't have to say if you're not, just if you are. Hang on, here we go. Oh, I can't unmute people.
Right. To me, when even not being on the time comes around the corner, you know, I'm getting in the zone already.
You have to leave, correct, guys?
What's that?
You have to leave?
Well, things have changed. Stephanie's picking them up. So
Okay. Well, because my internet keeps going off and I can't unmute people, you know?
I'm going to stay here at least another half an hour.
All right. So I just wanted to ask a question. Why don't you unmute people for me?
All callers are unmuted.
And the question I asked was, how many of you are tending to get right into the silence at the beginning of Whole Planet Healing? You know, we've been doing it different ways. It's kind of evolving. And when we started, I was doing a long, okay, feel the energy inside you, feel it expanding. And lately, I've just been moving right into the assumption that it's expanded, which I can feel. But are you guys feeling that when I do that?
Yes.
That's what I thought, because I didn't think I could feel it if you didn't feel it, you know? Like, I know the feeling. I have some amount of intuition on it. I can feel the energy. So when I say it and I feel the energy come in, I feel it. And I think everybody else is feeling it. Or not everybody, but some people take more time. Some people are distracted, like Hives. But it's interesting because even when I'm I won't say distracted, but you probably notice there's days that I'm more centered than other days. Do you guys notice that?
Yes.
Yeah. God, I thought nobody noticed. Well, thank you for being patient with me, because just like everyone else. I go through my cycles, my ups and downs, and showing up some... Do you know, there's a thing when you're in the public where people that are in the public don't want to overexpose themselves unless you're Johnny Carson or Jay Leno or somebody like that. And then they're not really overexposing themselves because their shows are based on bouncing energy with other people, okay? I mean, imagine somebody that was coming in to give a talk. It was a wise person who was giving a talk in your town. Well, the chances are they're not going to do a talk the next day and the next day after that and expect people to show up. They might come back a year later, okay, or 6 months later at the most. So in this case, part of me is a public figure doing talks and has to keep people interested. If I want to do that, if I want to keep, I mean, I could have all kinds of guests, which I'm not so interested in doing. I'm mostly interested. It's very hard to top the Elohim and the Ra group, okay? It's kind of like, unless there's a guest of specific interest who's an expert on something in health that would help people, or some kind of angle, it's like, I feel the energy, our energy is higher. Who is breathing? Is that Lena? That looks like Lena.
No, I was moving a chair. Sorry. I thought I was...
Oh, well. Okay. Okay. In any case, you know, there's a balance that I am constantly learning. I'm learning the balance because we don't charge for things very often. It's like there's a certain energy that I have to make sure we can pay our bills through other things. And there's a certain energy from doing the calls that sometimes I have to rest afterwards, or I have to zone myself into it an hour before so I get into the zone. And if I don't do that, sometimes I do as well and sometimes I don't. So my energy goes up and down. And on Whole Planet Healing, you know, I'm going to experiment with things because we have recordings of all those calls. And I'm thinking of taking 5 or 10 of the calls when that are the best energy and use them as replays and see if there's a difference in energy if I don't do it live or if I do. I don't think so. I think you guys are holding the energy. So even if we do a replay of one, since they're all pretty much, they're the same, at least within a certain framework, the replays may be just as good as me doing it live. And probably better if it's an off day for me. This is part of the experiment on my part to say, how do I do this? You know, what's the best way to do it? And so I'm just being transparent and sharing it because I know we're doing something extraordinary and I know we're doing something rare in this realm and how to keep it up without burning me out, without burning Terry out. Terry, are you on the line yet? Terry has been recuperating for a few weeks. And, you know, even though she doesn't say anything, she's on the line, and she's holding a lot of energy for the line. And so this is part of the behind-the-scenes production of what we're doing. Well, tonight I decided... there are calls we have done on Monday that are beyond the beyond. And some of you have been on those calls. And I think I'm going to start organizing some of them. We do it occasionally, the Terry Friedman call and this and that, but we have calls. I don't even know what's in there. You know, we have probably approaching 2,000 calls on our spirit channel. And, you know, there's people that when they figure out what we're doing, they tell me they listen to every call, okay? They go back and listen to it because there is... Oh, let me use this clicker here. There we go. And there's another one. So I need free energy in myself because one of the things that I'm capable of is being a public figure, as what happened when I went on George Norrie. But I haven't tried to get on any shows. I haven't tried to go public because I start feeling I have no extra energy. And it's kind of like, there's Terry. Hi, Terry. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
You're what?
Hello. I'm here.
I hear you. You weren't muted, were you?
Yeah, I was.
How did I guess?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's listening to you, okay? So don't say anything. Don't do anything silly. But I could tell everybody to say hello to you. I'll bet they might. I don't know. Unless they're mad at you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Terry.
Hi.
Love
Hi.
You.
Yeah. So,
hello.
Look at that, Terry.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
I mean, we're really kind of doing a miracle on these calls. We really are. What we're doing, what we're bringing through, and you guys are part of it. It's like if a tree falls and no one hears it fall, is there sound? No, there isn't. We're doing this, and you hear it, and you get touched and moved, and it inspires us back. So, you know what? I got a replay. I'm going to play 45. It's 45 minutes long. I think it was an interesting call. It was about a Monday call, and I think there's channeling in it about what happens when one species incarnates into another species, like a dog becomes a human, or hopefully a human doesn't become a dog, but you never know. So here we go.
I'll be able to do it in a minute.
This is March 23rd, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, partially. And the rest of us, not the rest of us, the rest of Wynn and Terry, the other partial part is somewhere else. But Terry is walking in the physical door. And I had asked her earlier if felt in the zone to do a session tonight. And she said she did. So I picked a topic. I thank Rich Buckley because he sent this question, and he really sent it for a Wednesday, but it's actually something which I have thought about myself, and I'd like to get our sources' comments on how this works. And I don't know if people understood what I sent out, but I called it trans-species soul migration. Now, we know, for example, that if somebody has a dog sometimes they start looking like their dog. And I assume that's a DNA exchange. And even a couple might start looking like each other if they're really, really tight. And I assume that's a DNA exchange. And we know that every, I think I know this, I think this is true, that everything that's in a physical embodiment has a corresponding energy attached to it, which is called the soul, and that the soul continues, and it continues in other bodies and in the future. And every time it enters a body, there's a veil of no memory that comes in. So how does that work? If you have a dog and the dog really starts being around the human DNA, can the dog come in as a human? Can a Pleiadian soul that's attached to the energy field of another planet suddenly come over to Earth and have an embodiment? If you have two species, even within a race, a black person and a white person, that have a child, and the child has the DNA of both beings, can any soul occupy that child? Can a Native American soul occupy that child? Can a Chinese soul occupy that child? Or do people have to have sex and sexual interchange between species in order for a soul to occupy a body? Now, it's our understanding that Ra moved the souls from Maldek, and they entered into the hybrids of the Anunnaki. And so, obviously, it's possible for a species from another planet, their souls, if that's true, it's possible for a species from another planet to enter a body of a species that's a new species on this planet. Also, it seems as if it's possible for a soul to divide. And is our soul just a unique soul to us, or do we pick up fractals from lifetime to lifetime that we are really composites, and each life is a new composite of sorts? And how does this work with someone who dies and is on the astral? Now, that's what I'm biting off on this call. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here, but where is my computer? Do you know?
I have no idea. I didn't touch it.
Okay.
It's probably in the same place as the mute button goes to.
Or my phone went to for a while.
But you don't need your computer for this call, do you?
Well, if the charge, let's see. I have enough charge on the phone, so if the earphones go out, I'll just switch to the phone.
Okay, and I mean, where's your battery? Don't you have the battery you can just plug into the earphones? Little black battery?
No, it needs charging.
You know, I try to cover these.
I haven't figured out how to charge it yet.
I see. So, I try to cover these situations, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, thank you. Jim found my computer. Okay.
All right, good. So let me know when you're settled. I'll tell you what, while you're getting settled, I'll open the mics and see if anyone wants to make a comment about our topic or has a question. I don't know if I'm going to ask your question because I want to get into a flow.
Yeah,
I'm not going to let people ask questions, but I'm just opening up the mics for a moment and see if there's a burning question that maybe I'll add to my questions, okay?
I've met some, like, super smart dogs a couple of times in my life, people's pets, you know. And you could, like, just talk to them, and they pretty much understand what you're saying and everything.
Uh-huh.
This is
like
Cecil,
that.
And I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Cecil.
My question is, do animals like dogs and cats, do they reincarnate and end up being back with the same families? And what happens to them after they're dead? We just had to put down a cat that we've had for 15 years, and we'd sure like to know, you know, how she's doing. Her name was Callie.
I'll tell you a really interesting story. There was a lady on our line, and I don't think she's on tonight, but she had accidentally run over her dog, and she was really, really, really despondent. And she asked a question about it, because she was trying to relieve her guilt. And in the answer to the question, the Elohim had said that her dog was still around her, okay? It was like following her spirit in the spirit wherever she would go. And then I think they said, I don't know, I'd have to go listen to it exactly. They may have said it would come back, all right? But that was a bit of a mystery. So a few weeks later, she then went to the pound and found another dog that was similar to her dog. And I can't remember the breed. Let me mute everybody here. I can't remember the breed, but it was a small dog, you know, a small kind of yappy, cute dog. And she kept saying, "It seems like my dog." And it was like her dog. Now, remember, her dog was following her around in the astral. And now she said she thinks this other dog is like her dog. And when she asked a question about it, the question just blew me away from the answer. Because what they said was her dog was a walk-in and was sharing space with the new dog. And they were alternating back and forth. And the new dog was really happy that the old dog was there because he was training her how to get along with her. So this went on for a few weeks, and then the other dog left. I believe he left. Okay, but you know, I never heard of a story like this, and it kind of blew me away. And she was absolutely sure it was true because of the way the new dog was treating her in exactly the way her old dog treated her. And the whole incident really helped her relieve her guilt. Because she was crying. She ran over her dog. And,
accident.
yeah. Well, accidents happen. But you know what? When you're responsible for something that hurts or damages another being, it's pretty easy to be guilty. But having the dog come back and be with her, like that just healed the guilt. So
beautiful. True story.
One story. Now I'm going to mute. And Terry, do we have you here?
Yeah.
Are you relaxed?
I'm here. I'm here. And it was interesting because you told me what the topic would be tonight, and I didn't have any idea what the answer would be. And then I got a flash of what the answer would be, but then it went away. So
we'll see if we can bring it back, right?
Yeah, because I have no idea what the answer was.
Okay. All right. Well, we're recording. We got good volume. I'll bring in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we greet each one who wishes to be greeted. And we come directly to you. We do not come over the telephone or over the computer. It is the voice that you hear on those wired and unwired networks. So we are mindful of the love that individuals have for their pets. And we do say that there is some crossover, although when an animal is used to being a certain type of animal, all of their inclinations are to continue in a similar body, as that is what they are familiar with. We have examples. One dog that we worked with ran. He told his history, and his history was he was a dog, white, big white dog, and he lived with a family. And in the morning, the husband and wife left for work, and they told the dog to guard the house. And when they left, he did what he likes to do, which is to get up into the Davenport and pretend that he is a human. And sometime during the day, there was an explosion and it destroyed the house, and he lost his body, his dog body. And so we worked with him, and Terry worked with him, as that is one of the things she sometimes does is find spirits that are landlocked or are stuck.
And the dog kept saying it didn't want to believe that it was a dog. It wanted to be a human being. And it was, had all the facilities, all of the talents and gifts that it could merge with a human body. So it was released to move into future lives and had a choice of whether to be a dog or whether to be a human, but it had so longed to be a human, and it could hear and understand a lot of what was said, and so it appreciated the opportunity to come back as a human being. But generally, animals will feel what they are comfortable with. They have goals, and sometimes a lifetime. For instance, one cat that we worked with had a lifetime where it was killed by a wild animal, and it accepted it as a challenge, how to come back and live in another cat body and to this time evade the wild animal and to survive. And this was a challenge it set for itself based upon that one past life where it did not survive. We take a look to see Cecil's cat. We see its aura is quite small, and one of its things that it liked to do would be to catch a mouse.
Are we sure it was a cat and not a dog? Excuse me for interrupting.
Cecil could maybe unmute and tell you.
Could you unmute Cecil Star 6?
Yes, it was a cat. The name was Callie, and she didn't have any front claws, so she couldn't possibly catch a mouse, but that might have been something that she would aspire to.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Cecil. Sorry
yes.
to interrupt. I should realize that I'm the one that usually makes mistakes. Go ahead.
She is hanging around and waiting for an opportunity or a situation to return into. And she has her own spirit and is a beautiful spirit. Do you have questions today on the topic?
Just immediate question is, when an animal chooses to incarnate in the body of a human, I understand that the soul has the imprint of the DNA of the previous life. Does this imprint then get disregarded, or does the human end up having some aspects of the animal's DNA?
With the practice of being the animal, the person that results can have some attributes, acute hearing, acute sight, some impulses, and not knowing where they come from. From the training one had as an animal, and they may need to grow into the role of a human. the individual, the DNA of the parents and the ancestry of the parents is also present, that the animal spirit can and then move into when it is ready and has an intention to do so.
And can an animal choose to incarnate in the body of another animal? Say, can a cat incarnate as a tiger, for example?
It is more possible for the cat to reincarnate as a kitten in the same form and try to have a body that looks like the body of the animal that it has been, because this is what it is used to and more comfortable with. It is for them to jump species is harder. And the species, if it jumps, would normally, it would be not as often, but it might be rare, but as the individual being did not want to choose something too divergent from what it had been,
now, I'd like to go into the idea of races and blue bloods, okay? Let me start out with blue bloods. And it's my understanding that what we refer to as the elite go to great efforts to intermarry within their own group to keep the DNA intact. In other words, to keep them elite. And perhaps there's other reasons beyond that. But when...
There are certain talents and gifts within that group, and they wish to keep that pure and keep the talents and gifts pure within their group.
Now, does that mean that a commoner, so to speak, a commoner, if they wanted, let's suppose a commoner was a servant or a helper or an employee of an elite group and really was kind of loved and taken in to the group, does that mean that the commoner might have the choice to incarnate in an elite body?
Yes, that is, there is that opportunity. However, they would need to get used to a body that is slightly different than theirs, with different creative tendencies.
And how about vice versa? Could an elite incarnate into a commoner body? Probably they wouldn't want to in most cases, but I would assume it's possible.
It is possible. However, they might regret or not know what is wrong, or they might get angry at the way they were treated and come in as a commoner, being left out of the group and feeling like they should be part of the group and could get very angry, and because they were not given the same entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
It can be part of a soul's growth to be able to accept humility, and could be a growth experience for them.
Mm-hmm. Does the human, what we think of as our human consciousness with willpower, make these decisions, or can it sometimes be our high self that says you need this experience and would push the soul to enter into a body that was different than it came from?
There would need to be some attraction toward the different body, some desire to experience it, or some familiarity with a person that would be a parent that has made the jump, and then being part of the soul group to use that for the subconscious taking on of a body within that, to be within that soul group still.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read somewhere that there were a group of Atlanteans that after their continent destroyed itself, made the choice to incarnate into dolphin bodies, because in which case they could only hold the energy, but they wouldn't have the ability to create an advanced technology that would end up in destruction again.
That would not be general for the whole of the Atlantean culture. There was, after Atlantis went down, there were less choices. There was not the choice to reincarnate as an Atlantean. So some of them did choose to get a dolphin body, the same with Lemuria when Lemuria went down. Some of the individuals opted to take a dolphin body primarily because they were used to that location or had a goal to do in that location and did not want to move locations to reincarnate. Let us take a look. If an individual had caused the destruction, then there were not a lot of people that caused it. It was more a certain elite group that caused it. So these people are a different case to look at, and they became, we look at a few and we see they were very angry. We say that in order to take a dolphin body to prevent themselves from being destructive were only for a few that were already somewhat pious and somewhat understanding of their surroundings. That is our answer.
Why did they choose dolphin bodies? where did the dolphins originate from? Obviously, there was something about a dolphin body that must have had a certain level of advancement anyway to allow that to occur. Where did dolphins come from that would allow that?
Dolphins were on the planet for many years, and they helped you balance the grids in the ocean. They helped to raise the tone of anything that came around. Dolphins were developed and placed here from another area of the galaxy to help populate the oceans. They are very intelligent with a very high IQ, so they allow thinking process, they allow telepathy, they allow a body within what one can communicate with another, that one can be part of a dolphin family, that one can have a growth experience, and one can help to cool down any animosities going on the land, in the world.
Thank you. If you take different races, like Chinese, like Native American, like Caucasian, like Nordic, can a soul from, I'm sure the answer is yes, but what is the clarification for what creates a soul from one race to then incarnate in another race?
They generally stay within their race, and the Vikings, say, have families, and they then populate certain areas of the world, and it is like a family soul group that one morphs into another race in a different country. However, if you are speaking of one individual jumping races, this is sometimes done when one is seeking a different experience, and it usually comes after one has an experience of some sort with the other race or living in the location of the other race.
Or if one falls in love with someone, has a love relationship, a romance, a marriage with someone of another race, what would happen in that case genetically and incarnationally?
There would be in the children a mixture of the races and a mixture of the DNA, and there would be different features, and this could then be generated within each location where they lived, could, as the children were born, could then introduce some DNA from the first race into the second.
Thank you. Now, I'm aware that sometimes a soul can fraction itself, and that what
a soul
is
can pardon what?
Fraction. Let me just say it another way. from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime to lifetime, is there an absolute integrousness of the soul that moves through all these bodies? Or can souls mix themselves up a little bit where a body can be a combination of a couple of different souls or more frequencies, and they combine to create not a an integrous unit, but somewhat of a new unit. And I don't even know if that's true, but perhaps you can explain it from your side.
Thank you. There are times, we'll give an example that can perhaps make it more clear. When an individual gets a body part from another that has passed on, and the individual that has passed on is still connected to the body part. And so the first individual that receives the body part then can begin to have cravings for beer that they never had before, or likes for music that they never had before. And it is then becoming a combination of the two, and this can lead to upset if there are differences between the two. It can lead to differences and appearance of a fractured being, but it is not a fractured being. It is two beings sharing space. Like when the dog from the pound took on the new life.
Well, when the being dies, will those two fragments, will the fragment leave, or does it will continue indefinitely?
It can continue. It can leave and show its own way. It can share space with the other. It can attempt to take over the other, creating conflict. There are numerous ways that this can go.
Mm-hmm. And how about beings from other planets? We know there's beings on other planets. We know there's all kinds of beings from other planets. What are the circumstances that would cause an Earth soul to end up on another planet? Would they have to graduate this realm and then make a choice to be incarnated on that planet? We know that early on we talked about Earth being many planetary DNAs connected to Earth, that all those different planet DNAs have to create special bodies so that the souls from that planet could occupy Earth, or could they just choose to occupy bodies that were here? Can we have some insight on that, please?
They could choose to occupy bodies that are here. There are many who have lived on other planets and due to one thing or another have come to Earth. Earth is on the edge of the galaxy, and it they're not in the normal path of traffic within the galaxy. Many people here ended up by being captive and were brought here as captives and have not found the awareness to leave, although they might, if all of the mapping of their past were laid out, they might have loved their other planet more and have desired to be on the other planet because many planets are easier to be in than the Earth planet.